There are days when I wake and it's there, that familiar friend, the desire to create. Sometimes it comes with specific inspiration, and sometimes, frustratingly, it comes with no direction at all. Just a need to break free, to put my mind into the world around me, to make my heart known, to be creative. A need to push colors together and apply them with broad strokes on a blank canvas. It comes without warning, and it stays until it's satisfied. This desire to create. Sometimes I simply awake from a deep sleep with an impulse to make something. I gather my materials. I choose brushes. Every decision impacts what will come of this creative moment, what shapes and textures will emerge. I mix colors, choosing them carefully. I create the right hue, the right vibrancy, the right consistency. All the things that will bring the work into existence. And then preparation becomes action. Creativity becomes creation. A creator creates. Each moment is filled with hundreds of decisions. Every stroke, every new touch of color, the right brush with the right bristles, the right pressure, the right direction. All of it filled with intention, filled with passion. And a picture begins to emerge. Beauty begets beauty, because every creation is a reflection of its creator. Sometimes I'm interrupted in my work. Sometimes the phone rings or a friend will drop by for a visit. I love visits. I welcome these kinds of interruptions. It's good to take a break, to invite new eyes. But at the same time, I often wonder exactly what people are thinking when they see my work in this unfinished state. Before the piece has become what I intend it to be, it suddenly has an audience, a critic, and I wonder if I can't see a quizzical look in their eyes as they take it in. Do they see what it will become, or can they only see what it is now? Do they doubt its potential? Do they think it's finished, or worse, failed? Do they doubt my abilities as an artist? Most people aren't able to understand what the piece will become, only what it is at the time that they first see it. They aren't able to understand that it's a work in progress. There are times when it might look like a complete mess, but it's not a mess. It's a part of the process. The way I see it, it's all beautiful because, in some way, the process of making a thing beautiful is beautiful.
I hope you appreciated the DVD that you were just able to watch, the short video clip. It's something that was certainly, I found helpful as I thought about Good Friday. Some of the words in particular in that little video clip caused me to think about and be reminded of Good Friday and what Good Friday is about. Just to read some of what you just heard, the narrator said, "Do they see what it will become, or can they only see what it is now?" That was the artist talking about their artwork. Do they see what it will become, or can they only see what it is now? Do they doubt its potential? Do they think it's finished, or worse, failed? Most people aren't able to understand what the piece will become, only what it is at the time that they first see it. They aren't able to understand that it's a work in progress. So this is an artist talking about a piece of art and her concern about what somebody else might think as they see it in its unfinished state. At the moment, the church building is in an unfinished state. As work has progressed, we've been able to look at it and go, I can see what it could look like. But there's also been times where it's been like, oh, it's a mess. It's interesting that this past week, the builders have actually spent almost a whole day tidying up. They mowed the lawns as well. They removed rubbish. They did the edges. They cleaned up the site. It looks so much better, and yet it's still incomplete. Can we see in our minds what it will look like, what the potential is? The artist goes on in the video to say there are times when it might look like a complete mess, but it's not a mess. It's a part of the process. That's life, isn't it? Life is this journey, and at the beginning of life, so much of life is, I guess, trying to work out what life itself is actually supposed to be about. There's people who talk about a first half of life and a second half of life, and I guess I'm in the middle of the moment. I'm in what they call the midlife crisis area. That's why I own a sports car. But the part of, you know, times in life we're just confused by life, and life seems to be a mess, and yet we're not looking at the whole thing, are we? I love what the artist says in the video clip. They say, the way I see it, it's all beautiful. Because in some way, the process of making something beautiful is beautiful. Just apply that to life for a minute. And this idea that life is not just one snapshot of time. It's actually the full movie, isn't it? It's how we are as a human being, who we are, who it is that we become from birth to the grave. And there might be some points in that journey from birth to grave where we look at it and we go, it's a mess. But that's not the finished product, is it? The finished product is so much, so much more. The passage that we had read to us this morning, it gives us this picture, this snapshot in the life of Jesus. It happens to be at the end of his earthly life. But just before the passage that we had read to us this morning, we see Jesus, he's still at this point hung on the cross, but he says, as he looks down from the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. It's this huge statement, isn't it? It's a beautiful statement. A statement that our Savior, even while he's hanging on the cross, even while he's still bleeding from the beating and the flogging that he has had earlier, he can actually look down from the cross and he can ask that the Father would forgive those who are responsible. It makes it quite clear they don't know what they're doing. And to me, as I read those few verses, they stand in such sharp contrast to the very next words, because it says, and they divided up his clothes by casting lots. It's almost like his request of the Father that they be forgiven, they have no care or concern about that. It sort of highlights to me the sadness and yet also somehow the beauty of the situation. That those who so desperately need forgiveness have no idea. And yet there is one who is so willing to give it. So Jesus has been nailed to the cross. And in the passage we've had read to us this morning, darkness has covered the land. The sun has even stopped shining, we're told. Which of course, if you love looking for dual meanings, we have the Son of God, whose life is about to stop shining. And we're told that in the temple, the curtain that divides the Holy of Holies with the rest of the temple, that temple is torn in two. And then Jesus says what are his last recorded words in Luke's Gospel, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And Jesus breathes his last, we're told. I'm so thankful that God works on a much larger canvas than the one that we can see at any one point in time. Remember what the artist in the DVD said, in the video said, could you see what will become? Or can you only see what is now? Do you see the potential in this picture of Jesus dead on a cross? Do you see the potential? Do you think that it's finished, or worse, has it failed? Do you understand what will become of this death? That it's actually a work in progress. It might look like a complete mess, but it's not a mess, because it's a part of the process. Dare I say, it's a part of the plan. So two quick questions that come to my mind as I look at this passage, and that is, why is this temple curtain torn in two in verse 45? Well, the curtain represents a break in our relationship with God. That's why the curtain is in the temple. Notice that it was never a permanent fixture, but it was there as a division between God and his people. You could only pass that division if you were the high priest, and you could only do it on very rare occasions. And when you did, you went in sprinkling blood everywhere just as a sign of sacrifice, as a sign of humility and the place that we find ourselves before God, that we are people who deserve death, not life. And that was the only way that somebody could pass through that curtain to the other side, to the Holy of Holies, to the what was considered to be, I guess, the dwelling place of God himself. And so it represents, the curtain, a break in our relationship with God, a division. There's a wall between God and us, and as a result, we could not be who we were created to be. I think we touched on that last week, with Jesus, with his full humanity, what that meant to be fully human. It meant to have a relationship with our Father. And so this curtain represents that there is actually a break, a division, something stopping, a blockage to us being who it was that we were created to be. That curtain says we're incomplete. That curtain says that we are unfinished, that we are a work in progress, and that we have unrealized potential. And so why was the temple curtain torn in two? Well, because Jesus deals with that barrier in his death. There's actually now no longer any reason for that curtain to be there. His death pays the price of our rebellion. He pleads on our behalf to the Father. He says on our behalf, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." And sadly, it's true, isn't it? We usually don't have any idea about the implications of the things that we muck up in life, the mess that we make. And so the curtain is torn to show that relationship can be restored. But the second question I have is, why is it that the centurion in this passage, why is it that he praises God in the midst of everything that is happening? Why does he decide that Jesus is a righteous man in verse 47? Now, there's reasons in the passage quite clearly as to why he might think something special about Jesus. Perhaps it's the sun going dark. I'm sure this centurion had seen lots of crucifixions, but maybe the sun had never gone dark. Or perhaps because Jesus, as the last act of his life, gives his spirit back to the Father. He sees in Jesus some sort of trust, some sort of hope, some sort of faith that causes him to say that this is a righteous man. But maybe it's also because that the centurion, who is used to seeing death on a daily basis, sees something with a beauty, with a depth and a meaning and a purpose that he rarely sees. In the midst of death and meaninglessness, he sees something that is real and yet so different. Maybe he, the centurion, looks at what happens and he recognizes something beautiful. Remember what the artist said, it's all beautiful because in some way the process of making something beautiful is beautiful. Jesus, through his death on a cross, restores a relationship for us with God, and that is a beautiful thing. His death is an ugly thing in one way. But in the other way, it's a beautiful thing because his death is a part of making something beautiful come about. Good Friday is the darkest day in the history of creation. It's when creation kills the Creator. It's also the day that the Creator demonstrates his love for creation. It's the day that the Son asks the Father to forgive the people. People like you and I, who do not know what they are doing. And so as I close, just to think of what we looked at last week, the fact that Jesus was fully human. And we see that in his relationship with the Father. And we see it again on the cross, that he trusts the Father. And that he listens to the Father. He speaks to the Father. He obeys him. He serves him even to the point of death on a cross. But also that the Father is found in him. And he is found in the Father. And even though this is just a snapshot, we're reminded that God is working on a bigger canvas than just this picture. Praise God that it's not just a Good Friday, but there's an Easter Sunday. Praise God that even though what we see today in this reading is a mess, that God is working something much larger, something much more amazing, dare I say beautiful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the forgiveness that we have in and through him. We thank you that we have a relationship that has been restored with you. We thank you that no one single snapshot in history tells the whole story. We thank you that was true on Good Friday and it's true right now today in our lives. And maybe we feel or think that we have messed up in some way. That we have fallen short, that we've mucked up so much that there's no way that it can be made right. Lord, remind us that it's just one small part of a much larger canvas. In Jesus' name.